Welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. Hope you're doing well. Hope your week has been okay. That the weather is being not too unkind. It is what it is, but hopefully you're not suffering with it too much. Yeah, I've been thinking about growth. That's what I want to talk about today. Growth, alpaca growth. It comes in many forms, and we should really pay attention to all of them. But one is particularly important, and I want to come back to that later on. We can grow in numbers, physical numbers, the count, the herd size. We can add to the herd by adding new animals. And we've did that in the early days. We added some new ones in. We had some losses early on, and we added some further ones in. We chose a lot of spread in the bloodlines because this was a good way of getting the extra features, the kind of fleece, the kind of body structure, the conformation, the where the animals stood and carried themselves, etc. So all of that was useful to add in. It was also giving a spread of bloodlines, which meant we could carry on breeding from within our own herd for quite a while. We were big enough. We started with 5 pregnant females, and we were able to carry on for quite some time without having to bring in outside males. We did, in the early days, we did actually have some other stud males come. But it was a process of growing by adding some numbers. And then the births that we had, because we had pregnant females, we doubled in size first summer. The first year that we had them, we doubled in size. That was amazing. Lots of amazing learning and delight and all that kind of stuff coming with that. And then you get into the next time, the next round, then the one after that. And how do you start building for the kind of things you're trying to breed for? The conformation I've mentioned, straight legs and ears and all that kind of stuff that you make choices for. You can't completely control it. We know that. But we can try and bring in good characteristics. And then you've got the fleece, the whole breadth of dimensions of the fleece. The fineness, it needs to be fine, but it doesn't need to be so fine. You don't have to develop all the really, really fine stuff. But you do have to be aware of what kind of fleece you've got and therefore what use you can make of it. And there's a certain value, an extra value, in the fine fleece, but that doesn't last for too long. You've also got one of the characteristics is how long does it maintain its fineness over the years? And what we're looking for is an animal that can have really fine, good density. So there's a lot of fleece. It's quite dense, the coverage over the area, but also the coverage over the body, so that you're getting good quality fleece that you can harvest when you do the shearing. And this is going to take time to work out where you start, but also how you add in those characteristics and reinforce them, really, by those breeding choices that you make. And again, because it's still the middle of the winter, at least here in the UK, then those are considerations you can have now, because you're not going to do anything immediately, but you can start thinking through what it is that you need and what you're looking for and how to reflect on fleeces from the past, which ones have maintained their fineness and their density and their length, and therefore a usability for as long as possible. So that's the numbers of animals can increase by adding to the herd and also multiplying the breeding side of it. I find it's not surprising anymore, but I delight in the fact that people, when they start with alpacas, very often within a year or fairly soon thereafter, they will be adding to the herd. They'll be getting more alpacas. This is so good. I need more of it. Keeping alpacas is such a delight. And they're amazing animals to have around. So yes, where you can, but you need to be planning that right from the start. What capacity have I got? What's the maximum? What's the possibilities of increasing, whether it's in terms of shelter, stables and barns and that kind of thing, What capacity have you got for what you've currently got in hand, but also can develop over time? What about the land? Is there a possibility of adding more fields in if you needed to? Not always. Often you're hemmed in. There's not necessarily the scope to do that without physically moving the whole farm somewhere else, which is a big undertaking for sure. So there's a number of things there to be thinking about the capacity, the size, and also the capacity you've got to manage a larger group of animals and what's it for. So it could be just a few animals in the field, companion animals, that you will delight in, that they will appreciate, they will manage the land for you in terms of grazing and that kind of stuff. But you also have to put a lot of input in, different kinds of input, and the added complications of when you're breeding and that kind of stuff. So there's a number of factors there that all need planning and thinking about right at the start. Keep your options open where you can, and dream and then work towards those things. So we can add to the numbers by adding to the herd and also by multiplying births. They're a delight, and that's coming later in the season. We've got the crias that were born last summer, are reaching the point of weaning, if they haven't already passed that. And that's a good thing. But it's interesting seeing that development. Once you've had a few years of the breeding, you can start to see patterns, you can start to recognize what's going on, and you know how they are growing. And you can start to compare and go, this crop seems to be small. Now, it could be to do with when the grass came, how early was it in the spring when the grass was good. That's for the milk, for the mums. It's also prior to that, it's for as the mums are going through the winters, how hard was the winter? Is that, that's going to have an impact. Have they remained healthy? That's going to have an impact on the crea before it's born. And then you've got the development once they're born. Are they getting enough milk, good milk? And therefore, is the mum getting enough feed, good grass that can produce good milk? And then when the animals are starting to feed for themselves, the crea are starting to feed for themselves, then are they getting enough nutrients and growth? And it all depends, again, what's happening with the environment in terms of how cold is it, how much is the grass growing, and what kind of quality of food are they getting from the feed and any supplements that they're being given. And some do seem to slow, and then they'll spurt and we'll catch up. And other times you end up with some that just seem on the small side. Now, they could just be on the small side. Ah, hadn't thought of that. Yes, they could be genetically more compact. And we've got a few bloodlines that would fit that category. And that's just how they are. They are smaller and more compact animals. And others that are much bigger and bolder. They're taller, they're stronger, and big-boned. And that's appropriate, for the size of the animal. You're not trying to grow big animals or grow small animals, but you just have to have an awareness that there are those factors in there. But then there's also the environmental factors. And it's amazing how quickly the crea will grow. And I particularly noticed that in the early stages when we would put coats on the youngsters, bad summers. Even if you had a good few days, you can get a dip, you can get a heavy downpour or whatever. And just occasionally when they're early days crea, then they need a bit of protection. So putting a coat on them. But it doesn't take long before two things. One, you can't catch them to put the coat on. They probably don't need a coat if you can't catch them. That was my experience anyway. And the other factor then is that they grow out of the coat so quickly because they are growing. They do physically grow quite quickly in those first few weeks. And that was particularly noticeable because of having a coat on them to protect them from the weather, and then finding that actually this coat's too small now. Can't use that one. I need to go up to the next one. So we had a range of coats that would cover various eventualities. And of course, our herd has tended to get older, haven't we all? And therefore, we've got coats now for the older animals, those that need a bit of extra protection from the weather. So the old girls and one of the old boys, they're sporting coats at the moment. And you can get various colours, but we've gone for red, bright red, because we can see them at a distance. We can judge quite quickly where they are and see what's going on. And are they sat down and cushed when everyone else is grazing or are they? I mean, Fred's, who's pretty blind now, he sometimes gets adrift and he's kind of lost track of where the others are. So sometimes he's in a different part of the hillside. So it helps with awareness. So that's just a thing. But yeah, Coates is really interesting. Shows the growth of the career really, really, really well. And then they mature and they grow and then they start to take on the adult characteristics of the bloodline, of the parents. And quite often you can say, oh, yes, I know whose daughter you are. Looking at some of them, they're a spitting image. I mean, they're just amazing. And it's behavior as well as looks. It's really interesting. Some of the noises, some of the preferences will be demonstrated. And that seems to be passed on genetically. There's a bit of passing on because they've seen what has been done by the other alpacas around them and by their mum. But some of it definitely is genetic. The behavior is genetically controlled. But as they grow, you start to see they fill out, they start to get taller, and fleece becomes richer, longer. And then it dips. And as they become more mature, going into older age animals, then the fleece isn't growing as much. You start to see a change. It's not as fine normally. And that's one of the breeding choices I said right earlier on, that we try and make for not a fleece that will just do really well for the first year, but will carry on. How many years can we have good fleece and the good length? And the longer that is, the more productive they are for the life of the animal. And that's a better outcome, really, isn't it, when you're making those decisions? That takes time, though. What condition are they in? What's the fleece like 7 years later after they're born? Well, you've got to keep them for 7 years to work that out. So you've got to have a big picture approach and try to understand these things. It's worth talking to other breeders and trying to get an idea of what's happening there. The other thing that we grow in is knowledge all the time. It's about the knowledge of your animals, the way that they develop, the kind of preferences they have, those genetic things that they're passing on. We're learning, we're getting knowledge about our animals. And we get the general knowledge of caring for alpacas and what to do in emergencies and what to do when there's something in the middle that isn't an emergency but does need some attention. The routine things, the management routinely of what kind of food and how much and how are you going to do the shearing. What about the matings? How do you handle those things? All of that becomes knowledge that you've gained from experience. Hard won. And in the process, you're developing skills and abilities. You learn to read your alpacas, to understand what it is they're telling you by the way they're standing, behavior, you know, things that are out of the norm for them. And all of those things become skills and abilities that you have to understand, to know what this is, what does it mean, and what do you do about it? All of that takes time to develop. So that knowledge and understanding that comes over time, that's the growth. Then it's more the growth of us, isn't it? That's really important to go alongside the growth of the animals. It's not just having a lot of animals, that's just numbers, but having animals that are fit and healthy and are at peace. They're relaxed, they're not stressed. And all of those things can be affected by the way we interact with them. So things for us to learn, skills and abilities to absorb. And hopefully that knowledge, that understanding, that experience brings with it wisdom. It takes a while. It doesn't come overnight. But over time, we develop a wisdom about knowing what to do. It's applied knowledge, really. Knowledge and understanding, and then the wisdom is knowing what to do with it. So those things grow, that wisdom, alpaca wisdom in us, the things that they teach us, the things that we teach ourselves. But yeah, the biggest teacher I've had for alpacas is the alpacas themselves. Some in particular have taught me a lot. And then this is the big thing, and this is the thing I wanted to come back to. I mentioned it earlier, right at the beginning. The thing that kind of wraps it all up and wraps it all together and holds everything together, the thing that growth is going to be most significant. It's going to help all of the other areas. The thing is our confidence, growing in confidence. And it comes from those things of experience, of doing things, of developing skills and abilities, of getting understanding, getting knowledge, and putting it to work and proving theories that you might have along the way. So confidence, it wraps it all up. And this is the growth that will change things and affect in the greatest measure all of the other parts, all these other things. They're growing in numbers, they're growing in the birth and their lifespan of an alpaca. The knowledge that we have about how to care for them, the medical side of things, the veterinary side of things, the kind of treatments that are needed in certain situations, etc., how to avoid problems and that kind of thing. All that comes, and confidence is the thing that which will underpin all of those things. So grow in confidence. Doesn't come out of a book, doesn't come out of watching a video, doesn't come out of going on a workshop. All of those things are really important and really good. Get all of those things. Talk to people. Get connected with others nearby and further away. Find someone who speaks your language. And you can gather those things together. And in time, it increases your confidence. But the biggest thing to get your confidence is to do things. You know enough, and then you know more, and then you do more, and then you're growing in confidence. Learn some, do some, teach some. That's the way that surgeons work. They see something done, then they do it themselves, then they teach somebody else how to do it. It's that practical application, absorbing, building on past knowledge, past experience, and all the time it grows bigger and bigger. But the confidence has to be there to step in and do the thing that needs to be done. Alongside that, you need to stay teachable. That's the thing that which will help you. If there's an underlying hunger for more knowledge and understanding, things that will help us to grow in confidence, stay teachable, stay hungry to understand more, and then stay committed to putting it into work. Do you know, I like knowledge. I like that part of it. I like gathering the facts. I like reading up. I like talking the stuff. It's more challenging to do it. I can know what I'm supposed to do, but to do it, and there are a number of times I've had to step in and I'm going, and I'm fighting my internal urge to go away and read some more about this before I do. Now, you need to know enough. I don't get me wrong. I don't want people to be chaotic and just kind of having a go all the time. But there's a sense in which having a go is not a bad attitude if it's within some constraints that are safety margins, safety guide rails. Safety guardrails. So doing it is really, really, really important. And know yourself in that. Are you hungry for knowledge? Do you just want to get on and do it? Or do you just want to learn about it? They're kind of extremes of a spectrum. And most of us are somewhere in the middle. We need to know enough and we need to do enough to grow in our confidence. So find someone you can trust. Find someone you can kind of sound out your ideas with. And kind of on occasions, you're on your own and you're going to have a go. There's no one else. You need to deal with this now and step in. But you also need to know your limits and know where to stop and say, actually, I need help with this. Either another pair of hands, another body to get in the way and to manage the animals, moving them around, or someone else to give you more specific instruction or knowledge or guidance, or to physically do it for you. Sometimes it's best to get the vet out. Having seen things done, you go, okay, that wasn't completely out of something I could do. But also there are things that we don't have all the knowledge and all the picture that vets do. So we need to call on our vets appropriately and we work together as a team. So find those things that work for you. Understand yourself and grow in your knowledge of yourself as well. So there you go. Lean into growing good, growing better, growing into the kind of person that you want to be. What is that? Spend some time. You know, when you spend some time with your alpacas, one of those things is to watch them and see what's going on, but also to observe yourself. Let it become a reflective time as well. What's going on here? Where am I finding lack of confidence? Where are the things that I could spend some time building on. Reflect on how you want to grow and also who you want to become. Alpaca people. Yeah, we are all alpaca people, particularly those of us who've got the alpaca gene. It's just there. We can't help ourselves. And then decide what kind of person you want to be. It's a delightful journey. It's not easy all the time. It's not hard all the time. It's very rewarding, and it's a place that's worth journeying towards. So grow well. Hope you have opportunity this week to go spend some time with your alpacas or someone else's alpacas or my alpacas. And next time we'll have breakfast with the girls next time, and we'll see what's going on. Weather's not been that kind of weather. It's either been really wet or really windy. Doesn't make for having suitable breakfast. Anyway, we'll try and organise the weather for you for next time. Take care. See you again soon. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.